and welcome to the program. We're in Colossians chapter 2. Paul said, I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you. A great conflict. I thought he had contentment. Let's look at it. Stay tuned. Verse number 1 of Colossians chapter 2, Paul said, For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face, that their heart might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ. Now, Paul said, I've learned whatever state I am in therewith to be content. And here he said, I have a great conflict. Well, why? And one might even wonder, Paul, why are you concerned about this? You got your own problems. You're sitting here in a dungeon, and you've never even met those Christians at Colossae, and you're concerned about those over in Laodicea. Well, he had good reason to be concerned about them, didn't he? He didn't turn out very well. So he said, I have a conflict. I have an inner turmoil. I have a concern for you. Now, we've already seen what good Christians these people were at Colossae, and therefore he said, I have a concern for you because there is a battle for truth, and you need to be knit together in love and defending the truth. We're going to look at this in a little more detail. Before we do, answer this question as we listen to this message and song. Am I a soldier of the cross?
Am I a soldier of the cross? A follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own his cause, or blush to speak his name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sail through bloody seas? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? In this vile world, a friend of grace to help me on to God. Sure, I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by Thy word.
As Paul the Apostle sits in a dungeon, he's at the end of his life, and he realizes that these churches out there need to have an understanding of the day in which they are living and the false teachings that are flooding into the churches. And he said in verse number 1 of Colossians 2, I would you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. He said, I have a conflict. I have a concern. The situation, there's a great need to have our eyes open to what is going on around us. Paul the Apostle said in 2 Timothy 4:7, as he got to the end of his life, he said, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I have fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. And so he says, I'm concerned for you. We said previously that little phrase for you is found 9 times in the book of Colossians. And he said that their hearts might be comforted. Whose hearts? Laodicea. He said, I have a concern for you and for them, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the fullness assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. He said, I have a concern for them over at Laodicea, and he had good reason to be concerned. We read that he was concerned about their hearts. Well, we look in Revelation chapter 3, verse 14 through 17, and we read, and unto the angel of the church, or the pastor of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful, and the witness, and the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. It's interesting that he even puts cold before hot. He said, I wish you were one. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. He said, I want you to understand, to this church at Colossae, he said, I want you to understand, and I'm concerned for the Laodiceans also. Laodiceans obviously didn't list. You need to understand that there is a battle. He said, I'm doing this battle, that I fought a good fight, I've finished my course, I've kept the faith. He said, it was for you, it was for truth. We need to understand that there is truth and there is error, and we need to be knit together in love, in the truth. In verse number 3, he says, in whom are hid all the treasures, referring to Christ, of wisdom and knowledge. Now, wisdom and knowledge. Knowledge is simply an accumulation of information. Wisdom is how to do what we know we need to do with that information that we have. And that wisdom and how to do it, he refers to that in verse 5. We'll look at it in a minute, with the phrase, beholding your order. And so there's a battle. There needs to be a bond. They need to be knit together in the truth, and they need to be concerned about the fact that someone is out there to beguile them. He says in verse number 4, and this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. Now, these are good Christians here at Colossae. We've seen it as we began in chapter 1. They're great Christians. They love the Lord, and they wanted to do what was right. But he said, this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. And then again in chapter 2 and verse 18, he said, let no man beguile you of your reward. To be beguiled is to be deceived in a friendly and a charming manner. In 1 Corinthians 2:4, it says, and Paul said, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. We don't need a whole lot of sweet, enticing words to get people to like us, so maybe then they'll like Jesus. No, what we need to do is simply do what Paul said, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words. What we need to do is just preach the Word of God and let the Holy Spirit, he says, it was in the demonstration of the Spirit and the power. Let the Holy Spirit do what he will with the Word. Back when everybody used to preach and say what needed to be said, God, the Holy Spirit, was working. He's not working much anymore in our churches. I remember not very long ago, a few years back, when a fundamental Baptist church would give an invitation at the end of a meeting, and the front would be full of people who were sincerely wanting to do what was right and praying for God to help them. And now you see the same thing happening, and nobody's coming down that aisle anymore. And it's not the going down the aisle. That can be good or that can be phony, but it used to be good. It used to be sincere, but not anymore. Why? Well, because we've got all these enticing words which will simply reach the emotions. If we just preach the word, God says the Holy Spirit will bear witness with our spirit. But he said in 2 Timothy 4:3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts or desires shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Give us those enticing words. That's what we want to hear. And we want some politically correct fundamentalism. You know what that is? That's preaching that will not ever offend anybody. Let's just keep it all positive while the wolves are coming through and destroying the sheep. That is just nonsense. But that's what we're doing these days. And so he says to them in verse number 5, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, loving and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith. Your order and your faith. Now, we said back here in verse number 3, God talked about knowledge and accumulation of information, but he talked about wisdom and how to do what we know what we're supposed to do. Well, here he puts it this way, beholding your order. Your order. How we do God's will, God's way. And so, God's way. First of all, we need to have the truth. Second, we need to have sound doctrine. From that, we can adapt scriptural traditions. Then from our scriptural traditions, we can get scriptural methods of doing something. And then we can set scriptural goals. We do it exactly opposite. Let me see again. We should have the truth, sound doctrine, scriptural traditions, scriptural methods, and reaching scriptural goals. What do? Today, we get it all backwards. We start off with a goal. I have a goal, and that goal is to baptize 200 people a year. Our numbers, that's our goal. Then we come up with some unscriptural methods to reach those goals. Whatever works, whatever you have to do to get a crowd. I did that in the early days when my young in the ministry, just whatever worked, all kinds of nonsense. I had Snoopy and the Red Baron land in a helicopter one day on a Sunday. Our theme was looking up, and everybody was looking up while the helicopter came down. Then I preached on the second coming. And you don't find that in the book of Acts. You don't find the apostles doing anything like that. But you see, if you start with a goal and our number, that was our goal. We had to get numbers. Well, we did have numbers. We had a crowd. We had 11 buses, and we had crowds of people, all of whom, what happened was they just vote for Jesus, move in, and this was exciting for a while. But pretty soon they were falling by the way, and we'd have to get a new numbers and new groups. And they're falling off. That's not what happened in the early church either. We find that they were saved and they followed on in their faith, even to their death. Don't see much of that anymore. Why? Because we got our order backwards. We don't start with the truth. We start with a goal. That's numbers. We get some unscriptural methods to reach those numbers. Then we have those unscriptural traditions from that. And then that turns into unscriptural doctrine. The Bible calls it false doctrine. And then we have some unscriptural goals. Well, the Bible says, Paul said here, though I be absent, he said, I'm concerned. I have great conflict for you that your order might be correct. Keep it right. And the steadfastness of your faith. Not only your order, but your faith, what you believe. To be steadfast is to be doing things in a conscientious or obedient manner. Conscientious simply means wishing to do what is right. He went on to say in verse number 6, and as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and builded up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And as ye therefore receive, the Bible says in John 1 and 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Well, it's one thing to receive the Lord. It's another thing to walk, as we need to walk in the wisdom and the will of the Lord. In Colossians chapter 4, verse number 17, Paul said, "Take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it." Now, the ministry, I have a ministry. We sometimes think that that ministry is what we call full-time ministry. All Christians are in a full-time ministry. Your ministry may be that of a mother, may be that of a father, may be that of a wife, or that of a husband. Even children are given directions in the Word of God as to how to fulfill their ministry in this world. But he said, "Take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it." Remember, in this portion of Scripture here, it starts out to the saints, which are at Colossae. It's written to the congregation in general, and he's saying to them, fulfill the ministry that the Lord has given to you. How do we do that? Verse 7, "Rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." So we receive the Lord, we need to walk, we need to be rooted, we need to be built up, and we need to be established in the faith.
Teach me thy will, O Lord, teach me thy way, teach me to know thy word, teach me to pray. Whatever seems best to thee, that be my earnest plea, so that thou drawest me closer each day. Teach me thy wondrous grace, boundless and free. Lord, let thy blessed face shine upon me. Heal thou sin's every smart, dwell thou within my heart. Grant that I never part, Savior, from thee. Teach me by pain thy power, teach me by love, teach me to know each hour thou art above. Teach me as seemeth best, in thee to find sweet rest, leaning upon thy breast, all doubt remove. Teach thou my lips to sing, my heart to praise. Be thou my Lord and King through all my days. Teach thou my soul to cry, be thou, dear Savior, nigh. Teach me to